Phil, I've got a funny feeling like we're going to need to be proper parents. It's almost like with JB, you know how you see some kids walking around and they have those little harnesses on their back so they can't just go and do something stupid? Well, I think we're going to need to do the podcast equivalent of that with JB. I've got a funny feeling. Right, get ready, strap yourself in. Let's get ready. Hands in and pod on three. One, two, three, pod! Oh, we have got so much to look back at over the weekend of rugby, the final round of Aviva Premiership matches before we get into the European matches which are coming up, which we'll be looking ahead to as well. There was Pro 12 to talk about. There was a Super League Grand Final, just to cast our eye over our egg-shaped ball rugby league cousins as their season comes to an end. It's going to be a top podcast. Thank you very much for downloading and listening. I'm Tim. JB is there.
Good day, Tim.
Oh, you sound very calm and relaxed, JB.
I am very calm.
How long that'll last. I'm Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Right, let's get to it then. Picks of the week from the weekend just gone. Phil, what tickled your fancy?
I'm going to go for Ulster Glasgow. it was a really good game.
Okay.
Don't often get to watch them live, but did. And just quite a good game, good performance. Ulster looked always the better team, but didn't really have that cutting edge until late on when those Gilroy and Bo scored good tries to make it comfortable 29-9 victory.
I know we'll get into this a lot more later looking ahead, but when you looked at them knowing you'd just seen Leicester the night before coming back into some kind of form,
yeah,
with some players returning, do you think that matchup's going to be as explosive as we thought it would be before the season started?
Well, it's the same matchup as there was last year. And last year,
yeah,
it was
a lot of the same matchups, actually.
Yeah, we are getting a lot of repeats. I think it's the Leicester team's probably not as strong as it was last year, but any time you go to Wilford Road, it's going to be really, really difficult. So I think it'll be a really good game. I think it's very difficult to call at the moment.
And I think their opponents, Glasgow, have got Bath this weekend coming up as well.
Have they?
Yeah, and I'd be interested to see how good Glasgow are because, you know, my views on the Pro 12, and they're not complimentary.
It's definitely a stronger competition. Without doubt, I've noticed that. I know that Munster had to work hard to beat Scarlets. They have got one of the worst kits in rugby.
What?
That change kit, the Tequila Sunrise.
The Sunrise one,
Is that them, is it?
That's them, yeah.
Oh, it's horrific.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It looks like a bit like that England Sevens kit from a few years ago.
Yes.
That was orangey red.
Yeah.
England Sevens kits, I know you like the last one. They've got a long and distinguished history of being awful.
Yeah, they do.
My pick of the week, I would have to say, was Exeter Chiefs.
Chiefs.
They put to the sword what has been a strong performing London Irish team. There were some mitigating circumstances for London Irish. I know that three of their players came off at half time because they were suffering from a virus that's been going around the squad.
Really?
I noticed Blair Cowan didn't start.
No, he came on and then looked brilliant when he did come on.
Why did he not start? Just a rest week or rotation?
Possibly a bit of rotation and giving him a rest. He's put his body on the line for several weeks. I think the depth of Irish's squad is a lot better than it was last season, but still, when you lost, they've lost a few players from a virus and there was three players on the team that got pulled off at half-time because they couldn't make...
Yeah.
They couldn't do any more. I think it's suddenly exposed... When you have a bunch at once,
yeah,
suddenly exposes the kind of soft underbelly that's under that little hard shell that they've got.
Yeah. I have to say, I was quite surprised at that because I think London Irish at full strength... In fact, I think almost any team at the moment in the Aviva at full strength can give another team a real good go.
Yeah.
And looking at the Irish team that they took to Exeter, and bearing in mind, Exeter have only just broken a huge losing streak at home. I quite fancied London Irish to go in there and, you know, and do a job.
Yeah, especially after Exeter got beat by Newcastle last weekend.
Yes, exactly.
We were talking about this before the pod, me and Jay. I think Irish have had a really tough few fixtures. Like they played Northampton, beat Leicester, very, very close against Saracens. I think it's just taken the toll. And it's almost been like a cup final for them.
Quins in the opening, the double London doubleheader, or was it Wasps?
I think it was Quins, wasn't it?
Question.
Quins in the double London double. So they've played a lot of the big teams.
Yeah, they're all big teams. I mean, that's probably like Wasps are now, I think, a big team after today's result.
You can excuse them for having like an off day.
Yeah.
Because of that.
But let's look at the other side and be complimentary. And I think we thought Exeter Chiefs might struggle this season. I think a lot of pundits thought the Exeter Chiefs might struggle. And it's to everybody's credit at Sandy Park, the season they're having. And I think the perfect sort of comparison was Kieran Lowe, Scottish international, was playing at Blindside for London Irish. He went off 40 minutes after a virus. And on the other team, Dave Ewers trucking it up again.
Big Dave, he's good, isn't he? Have they installed our diesel horn yet?
Not yet. They're talking about it on Twitter. You've installed one in the studio, Tim.
It's
fantastic.
Now, wasps, can anyone tell me this? I was watching it today, and it sounds like a bell a cowbell. Have you heard that thing? Like, it's some parts of commentary. Like, you're watching it, and in the background, you can hear, like, a little bell cow. A cowbell.
Cowbell.
Sorry.
And I think, well, like they do in alpine skiing.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding. And, like, what is that? I mean, it's not Last Orders of Boys, but they do have a bell in there.
So do they ring it at any particular time, like when there's a scrum? Or?
No, it was in open play, and it just started ringing.
Oh, right.
People getting excited.
Any Wasp fans?
Tell us what Coventry's like.
Tell us what the bell is all about, or was it Bath fans? No, Bath just go, Bath, 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 Bath. Bath, yeah. Bath. What a great win for Wasps as well.
Amazing win.
And the performance for 60 minutes as well.
They played more like Bath than Bath did, actually.
Out Bath, Bath.
Yeah, out Bath, Bath. Like, that back row, I've said it a few times now, is epic.
No, but Launchbury and Bradley Davies, proper grunt in the second row as well.
I don't think...
Launchbury didn't play.
Did he get rested?
He
had a minor car crash before...
Before the match.
Now, really? What's going on with Wasps? I mean, there was Christian Wade who had a minor car crash a few weeks ago.
Now Launchbury, it's all this travelling. It's only going to get worse when they go to Coventry.
Exactly.
Oh dear, we are going to have to get onto that, aren't we? But let's talk about JB's pick of the week. What was your pick of the week, Jay?
Well, I enjoyed the Saints game when they played the Cherry and Whites. No, not Northampton Gloucester, but Wigan St Helens. Now, this was hell of a game. Arguably, is it dying? Maybe. Is it played by fighting Northerners? Perhaps. But is it for men? Absolutely. This is a example of what rugby union once has been and could be again. It was an epic spectacle. Do you know what? I wasn't even interested in the tries. The thing which was so marvellous about this game is, like, there's high shots, there was late shots, there was, like...
punches.
Yeah, there was a couple of punches, there was a shoulder charge, which apparently is illegal now, but you couldn't tell. Like, all these really good things. And they're just tough, hard men.
So, in other words, you are glorifying and celebrating the punch by Ben Flower from Wigan Warriors
Right, all those people who sit in their little houses on top of Mount Pius and look down on mere mortals like us three, saying, oh, that's not what the sport's about. No, it is what the sport's about. Yes.
So hold on. For anybody, you're talking as if everyone will know what's going on.
Of course they will.
You may well know, but if not, there was within the first 2 minutes of the St Helens v Wigan grand final at Old Trafford, there was a double punch. Two players stood up, and Ben Flower clocks Lance Hawaya of St Helens, and then he follows it up by following him down to the deck and clobbering him across the face. The guy went off not knowing what day it was, and Ben Flower got a red card within the first 2 minutes.
Which is exactly right. He should have got a red card.
Here's how the commentary unfolded.
And a St Helens man. St Helens took exception to it and flew in. Was it Ben Flower?
Lance Hawaya hasn't moved, he's still now being treated by two...
I like the players going, he's got him, he's got him. I mean, you defend that, JB, defend that. Because what we've just walked, like the punch has happened before, Tuilagi
Ashton.
On Ashton. A punch in, you know, off the ball, and it got dealt with. The second one, when the guy was already knocked out, to then clock him when he's on the deck, not defending himself, that's horrible, mate.
Everybody loves a bad guy, right? And if you just listen to that crowd, and Steve-O's going mental, it's the narrative of, you know, dirty Wigan against good old St Helens. It was awesome. Steve-O talking like that could read out the train timetable and it'd still be interesting. It's not about the punch, it's about the spectacle. All we're left with, and this is why I'm so angry watching the Bath game later on, is just how sterile and insipid
Are you joking? Some of the massive, monstrous hits that we see put in rugby.
Biggest hit this weekend was Chris Halorafia, who absolutely smashed a Newcastle player.
Right.
Started here, ended here. I'm sorry, I'm using my hand.
Yeah, I've seen this.
About shoulder level. What happened? Can we just have a quick look at that, please, on the video ref? And then it was a penalty, 3 points to Newcastle. What's going on?
That it was a really, really good hit, but it did slide up.
And Who cares? It caught his head. I mean, you can't legislate for this.
The rules are in place to protect the players.
The rules are fast, right? And what the rules are doing is it's like having an argument with your wife or your girlfriend, and you don't know what you've done wrong, and she won't talk to you. If she told you what the problem was, you would adjust your behaviour accordingly.
Or in JB's case, he'd argue why she was wrong.
But because they don't tell you exactly what they want, it's like the jumping in the air thing. The laws are set up so eventually they're clear. Nobody was going to jump, and that's what they want. They don't want jumping.
I'm kind of in between the two of you. Like, there's nothing more frustrating. Like, for example, when you're going in to put a tackle in, and you end up somewhere around shoulder height because they slip and fall into you, and you get penalised. It's such an infuriating thing, and you can't try and make everything perfectly safe. And I agree with JB in that sense that there is an element of rugby union which could, if we're not careful, become sterile. But at the moment,
it is sterile.
There's enough big fair hits.
Yes.
To mean that it's not a big, we shouldn't celebrate and go, that's the sort of spectacle we want when someone assaults a guy who's already knocked out on the floor.
I said it's about the narrative.
You described today's game as insipid and boring. There was 51 points scored. There was some unbelievable rugby.
And 30 minutes, right, were played with only 14 players for almost a whole half. Bath were disadvantaged, but I mean, now actually, in the case of Bath, the first yellow card was a farce. The second one was a trip. You can't really defend that. And the last one, I think this is kind of like the penalty situation in football, which is if you beat the last defender, and then he tackles you and you go down, red card. Or if it's in the box, it's a penalty and no further action. Well, it was a penalty try to Wasps.
And a yellow.
And then the yellow.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I think in football it should be a penalty and a red card.
I think we should go
Because what if you missed the penalty?
I think we should go down. Well, what if you missed the shot on goal? I mean, I think it should be like the NFL where you don't get red cards. I mean, you have to make an enforced substitution. And I tell you what, the answer to this, again, lies in our cousin league, which says, oh, that looked a bit dirty. We'll put you on report and we'll check it out after the game. Because that's when it should be dealt with. No, much better.
I disagree.
So, it's not good enough.
Do you know what? There are problems I have with rugby union laws. For example, the yellow card for deliberate knock-on when someone's stretching to try and reach to intercept. I mean, we've all done that in a game. When you think you go honestly to try and catch a ball and you knock it on and then given a yellow card like it was a deliberate knock-on.
I can see that in your own 5 meters.
I mean, that's kind of frustrating. Yeah, I think there are laws that have gone too far, and we talked last week and we have talked in previous weeks about catching the high ball one. I played a game of rugby for the first time in over a year yesterday. And what I was thinking during the game was, I wish there was a TMO and some touch judges in this game, because I took the ball into contact about three or four times and a deliberate swinging fist,
really,
which could have broken my nose on several occasions. There was one guy that I always seemed to be running at, and every single time the guy took a tackle, all he did was swing his fist into the face of whoever he was trying to tackle. And you'd watch that and go, oh, let him go on with it. But
I would.
If you're going to tackle fair, square, man for man and knock me back, fair play.
How would Mr. Flowers have dealt with that situation?
Well, exactly. I'd argue, not saying I'm more of a man, but I'd say getting your head down, running into contact and trying to win the game, getting up and dusting yourself off is actually that's being more of a man than Ben Flowers punching someone who's on the deck.
I completely agree. And isn't that's part of the beauty of, you know, the whole test of rugby?
Yeah.
Is, you know, you do occasionally get that idiot, and if the ref doesn't sort him out, you sort him out by winning the game.
And what was the reaction of Chris Ashton when he got absolutely clobbered by Manu Tuilagi after the game?
A man's reaction.
After the game, he hugged him, shook his hand, and he said to all the television cameras that wanted to speak to him, said, well, there's no big deal. It was on the pitch. It's dealt with. We've shaken hands and it's fine.
That's
now,
really interesting, isn't it? Because where is he from originally?
Yeah, rugby league.
Correct.
All I know is that this could well have been the commentary from Old Trafford, the grand final.
I can't speak.
I can't speak.
You ballless get Campbell. You dickhead.
A real escalation there, by
the brilliant Mick Morgan. That was about, it must have been about 9 months ago when we first started talking about Mick Morgan. And I noticed that there was a massive, I noticed that loads of people in the build up to the grand final were tweeting about Mick Morgan and playing that bit of commentary out. His sort of bubble of popularity is growing. We asked for a remix and we got a remix.
Andy A!
It's a thing of beauty, isn't it? You got any voice to walk?
Typical Warriors! And now there's been one more cover done as well. So his sort of catchphrase is, I can't spike! And there is a song by Girls Aloud called I Can't Speak French. And there's someone's done a Mick Morgan remix. Words are never enough, oh baby, baby, you
turn my dust to gold. I can't speak!
Oh dear.
I can't speak!
There we go.
Very good.
All right, let's depart from rugby league. I think JB's made his point clear. If you ever want to have a little chat with us or whatever, or give us your thoughts, then at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter and where we will be tweeting our thoughts from. And me and Phil will be trying to temper the thoughts that JB puts out on Twitter as well.
I'm not allowed to tweet now, so.
No, just a bit more positivity. Yeah. You're focusing on the negative side of that fantastic Bath Wasps game.
There's so many beautiful parts of the game we love. Right, do you know what? I want to talk about something which a lot of rugby fans today and over this last week will be thinking is against the true values of rugby. I'm going to play some traditional English music for this. Wasps.
Yes.
Are breaking their 150-year history with North London and the Home Counties area.
Ah, see...
Because with their move, obviously, to the Ricoh Arena and Coventry.
Because I imagine, 100 years, you said, there have been...
150 years.
150. So I suppose 10 years ago, it would be 140. It was just London, and then it's moved to Home Counties, and now, yeah. You know, it's a big deal. Get over it. I mean, there's 7,000 there today to watch a very impressive Bath team, and the average is about 5,000. It wasn't working, you know.
Well, yeah, no, I hear that. I totally hear that. And Wasps, I remember looking a bit puzzled, what was it, 10 years ago when Wasps were winning European titles. It was a bit puzzled at how can this team that don't get a massive crowd be winning European titles and having that squad? And if you think about the squad they had, Simon Shaw, Josh Lucy.
Yeah. Rafael Ibanez,
Lawrence Delalio, Joe Worsley.
Phil Vickery. And in the European Cup final, who was the other prop? So you had Vickery.
You had Ibanez. Tom French.
Yes, well done.
Yes. Good. But I remember thinking, and they've never had a big attendance. But imagine yourself,
Kenny Logan as well. Wow.
Yeah. Imagine yourself a Wasps fan, JB, for a second.
Okay.
And sorry. Imagine that your dad used to take you to see Wasps since you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
This. Let me just give you a brief history of Wasps.
Please do.
Right. So they sold the land that they had. In Middlesex, like North London, and they sold it for 1 million, and the company they sold it to sold it not long after for 12 million.
Wow!
They moved and they played at Loftus Road,
yep.
Which wasn't gonna work. They were looking around for land that they could buy, but they kind of frittered all their money away, and all they could do was go to High Wycombe. That was all they managed to come up with. In the meantime, their heartland is now owned, if you like, as a in a rugby territory by Saracens, who are at Barnet, who were always in Wasps' shadow, but are now the dominant club. And Wasps are basically going, well, it's not working here. We've got to go. So just there's 150 years of history. That's all I'm saying. And they're moving to Coventry. And I love NFL, and I understand market forces and all the rest of it. But I feel sad that 150 years of history is done. And there's a lot of Wasps fans that are saying they're going to start going to Wasps FC, the amateur.
Well, that's club. Very nice for them. But I kind of think, I mean, I don't really care what they do is the actual answer. But you say 150 years of history gone. I think it might be a case of 150 years of history preserved. Because just picking up on the excellent BT Sport commentary today, they were saying stuff like, out of Dai Young's pocket, they had to buy things like tape and the team bus. I mean, that's how bad the finances were.
There's a lot of spin going on.
Maybe.
There's a lot of spin.
But if that's true, I don't see why they'd lie about it.
Surely you've got a city of 8, 9, 10 million people of London, and you've now only got two top clubs in London.
In London.
Yeah.
Surely there's, and they're moving to a town that's 330,000 people in Coventry. You've got 10 million people right there in London. There must be opportunities to stay near your homeland. You know,
I read a very cynical, it was a post on a Wasps chat group that was recommended to us by CJ, who was a one-time contributor. And it was saying that the owners of Wasps have basically seen a business opportunity at the Rico. They see it as an undervalued asset that was owned by Coventry City Council. Mm-hmm. And the only way that they could get hold of that asset, was to move Wasps there. And they will do it up, or use it for a few years, do it up, and then sell it on and be looking for a new home in somewhere else, having made however many million by just using the Rico Arena.
I think that fan is showing an awful lot of insights into rugby, which, you know, he doesn't really have.
I don't know if you read the post. It was very well informed. Hmm. It read like a very well informed post. It was in a lot of detail.
I mean, other
than a diehard few, is anybody going to travel?
No one travels anyway
to Coventry.
They only have 5,000.
I don't think. I think they've got to start completely anew in Coventry.
Yeah. I think they will. They might get a few people, but
tell you what though, Coventry Wasps has a bit of a ring to it.
I think you'll get some of the fans will go to Harlequins, or
London Irish if they're from High Wycombe. Reading's not that far away.
Yeah, London Irish or Saracens. Even.
It is weird, isn't it? Because it is odd that the closest place that they could play to home. Now I think it through.
It's
Coventry.
Yeah, I know.
It does have some rugby heritage in Coventry. Yeah, we'll see how that one plays. But personally, I'd be really, really upset if I was a Wasps fan. And which is why I think Andy Goode, I know how much you love Andy Goode. I'm going to call him out as having an absolute shocker on Twitter this week. Because Andy Goode came out and said, like a lot of players did, and I think the club were quite clever. And I don't know how much they coerced the players into doing this, but it was quite clever that the players all seemed to come out, you know, one after the other, saying, I hope you're with us, guys, rather than the club having to say it. It was a lot more powerful for the players to do it. But Andy Goode basically said to anyone abusing the decision to move, you're not real fans. And I thought, coming from if you want to use a nice phrase, you could call it journeyman. If you want to use another phrase, you could call him a rugby mercenary. He's hopped.
I'd call him a rugby professional.
Rugby professional, yeah. He's hopped around and had plenty of clubs, and there was a lot of Wasps fans who took umbrage with that comment and who said, "Andy Goode, I've been supporting Wasps for 40 years. You've been here for two years.
I think his point would be the same as mine, which is at least just gonna have a club called Wasps still playing at the top flight, and you're not gonna have a Richmond, and you're not gonna have an Oral. Because, I mean, that's the other way it can go. It can go badly wrong really, really quickly.
Yeah, that is a very good point, actually. But I still think the move... Coventry. Why Coventry?
It does fit in with the Land Rover Jaguar sponsorship as well.
Exactly, that's what I mean. I think business-wise, they're close to a sponsor that they've obviously... that was obviously a big part of the move. It's near Jaguar Land Rover, who invest heavily in rugby and would love to have a team on their doorstep. And... this stadium probably does present some financial opportunities to make some money.
Do you know who
but
else?
But neither of those are rugby decisions, which, you know, fine. Maybe that's
a
modern
business,
game.
Yeah.
So they're still going to be based in London.
Yeah.
And going to travel up for match days.
That's the only way that they could satisfy the requirements of the Aviva Premiership. They have to have their base stay in the same place. Same with London Irish. They're still at Sunbury and... Right. Playing
and
in
London
Reading,
Welsh, I guess.
And London
Must
Welsh,
train at Deer,
still
old Deer.
Old Deer Park and play at the Kassam Stadium.
One of the things about playing away that's a negative, makes it harder to play away, is you have a two-hour bus journey or whatever it is on the game day. You get tired legs.
I think they're going to bus them up there every Friday.
They stay in a hotel.
In Coventry and then play on a Saturday or Sunday, or whichever day it is.
This sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, does it?
Interesting to see if players like Launchbury and Wade stick around. Because I know Launchbury was holding off signing his contract. He wanted to see how it all panned out and what the
status of the club was. He could get, because I bet he's worth of it now.
I think he was more interested in where's this club going and what we're doing and what What's happening?
Mm. Well, if they carry on recruiting the way that they are, the people of Coventry should be very, very happy indeed. Mm.
But it's been it's been a big talking point. So there's some of our thoughts. What's yours? At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Now, just a little break. What we're going to do in a little while is we are going to build up to the European Champions Cup matches and Challenge Cup a bit less. So not as interested by that one. Mm. But we'll be talking about those matches very soon. And we're going to be asking the question, and have a think about this one just before we get into it. Who is the most English rugby player, the most typically Welsh rugby player, Irish, Scots, Italian, French, all the rest of the nationalities? Which one player typifies the stereotype for that country as a rugby country more than any other? We'll be getting into that one just to usher in the European Championship. But Phil, you've prepared a bit of a quiz.
Well, I have. Let me get it up.
Yeah.
It's a very quick one.
Shall I get you some sort of game show type music?
You can do, yeah, that'll be nice.
Oh, lovely. Right, so me against JB, is it?
It is. There's only 5 questions.
Okay.
And I'm disappointed there's only 5 questions, and I'll explain that afterwards.
Okay.
Mm. So the questions are all on the same theme, and that is A-League team names.
A-League team, okay.
What's A-League?
As in Premier's,
Premier League second string. They play on Monday nights.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the teams are just called so-and-so club A-team, so-and-so yes. club development team, but 5 of them have given them proper exciting...
So don't say it out loud, then we'll write them down then.
I think it was buzz in.
I was going to say buzz in, yeah.
Yeah, buzz in.
Buzz in.
Think of the listener listening to us scribble. It's not the same thing.
No, but I think we should write them down and see how many of the 5 we can get.
Okay.
Right. Go on then.
Okay.
I know 3 already.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I know a few.
So you're going to write them down?
Yeah. Right, okay. Interesting. Maybe I don't know as many as I thought.
I think I've got... I'm going to stick with the 3 I've got.
You're going to go for just 3?
I can't think of any more.
I know at least 2. Oh, I'm going to make one up. Oh, go on. I've only got 2.
So should we say the ones we've got?
Yes. I think you've both got the same one.
Sail Jets.
We'll both have Sail Jets.
Yeah.
Named
after Greece.
Well, no. Oh, how?
No.
Or West Side Story.
Sharks and the Jets.
The Sharks and the Jets.
Pathetic.
Isn't that? I can't believe that that's true. I thought when you said that to me a couple of years ago, GB, that was just a joke.
I know. Me too, when you told me that fact.
Nope, Sharks and the Jets, because the players' wives liked musicals, and they've played like that ever since.
Ridiculous. Okay. What's the next one you've got, Jay?
United.
Yeah, Bath United.
Bath United.
Yeah.
Now, I've not actually counted United, because there are 3 Uniteds.
Ah!
Oh, wow.
So there's Bath United, Gloucester United, and Bristol United.
So it's obviously a West Country thing, then, to have United.
Yes, definitely.
I only know that from my brother's time playing at Bath. I used to go and watch... In fact, first place I saw Gareth Delve was playing for Bath United, and I was like, oh my God,
Who is this kid?
This guy is incredible. If he hadn't have been so injury-prone, he could have been one of the best... Batman players ever.
Agreed. And his dad was Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Right, another one I've got.
Is it a type of dog?
Yeah, Irish Wolfhounds.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not the team.
It's not. The Irish Wolfhounds is the island.
It is the island one, yeah.
That's the
island
second team.
A London Irish is London Irish A team.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, disappointing.
Right, go on then, Phil. So now
tell us the names and then we'll write down the answer.
Okay, so the names remaining are the Braves.
Exeter.
Oh, you just ruined the game.
I thought we could do that now.
Oh, so okay, I was just writing E for Exeter then, fine. Okay, all right, go on. What are the other ones?
Okay, sorry, can we shout out now?
Yeah, go on then.
The Wanderers.
Worcester. No, Wasps.
Nope.
Saracens. No.
Newcastle?
London Welsh.
No.
It have got to be Wasps. They wander everywhere.
Newcastle. No. Leicester.
No.
Northampton.
Northampton
Wanderers. Yeah, I got the
first time. Wanderers of all,
yeah. The Cavaliers.
God knows.
Wasps. Saracens.
No.
That makes sense. Cavaliers.
Newcastle, Leicester.
Harlequins.
No, I'll give you a clue. They're not currently playing in the Premier League.
Worcester. Yes!
And woo! One last one.
Yeah.
Which should be a bit easier. The Storm.
Melbourne?
Newcastle.
Storm. Why is that easy?
Saracens.
Saracen Storm.
Why, that's not... What?
SS.
SS.
A lot of them, and the Stormers. A lot of them do.
Stormers?
Well, they've got their links with the Stormers in South Africa, so don't they? I don't know. Saracen, it rhymes. It doesn't rhyme. It's the same letter.
Fine.
That would have been a great. There'll be so many people shouting out loud. I can imagine with little headphones on the train or something, commuting, shouting at us.
Well, they'll be shouting, your only job is to produce a podcast, yet you butchered a quiz.
I like that quiz a lot.
That's what I found out, because a lot of the clubs don't kind of promote and publicise that this A-League that much. So if I've missed any, please let me know. Let me know if there are any others.
There's quite a lot of amateur teams, isn't there?
Oh, God, I thought it was a good quiz, Phil. Sorry, we were so terrible at it. Right, let's get into the European rugby then, because, oh man, this weekend is going to be good. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah.
It's not massively different, this tournament, is it, to last year? There was a lot of talk about it, the changes and what...
Well,
that was more about the TV rights like the than same, anything, wasn't it?
Feels like the same groups. Feels like the same, you know, just repeating a lot of stuff from last year.
Yeah.
It's on two different TV channels, broadcasters even.
And it's good that they took on some of my recommendations that they made right at the start of the pod.
Yes,
to,
Phil.
To not have all the Pro 12 teams qualified, to make it more competitive.
Exactly. Or any, if you wanted a real good product. Except for the Irish, they could play.
I like it. We'll get into the fixtures themselves in a little bit, but we've got a little game we want to play, and that is trying to think of nationalities, and we'll broaden it out to the whole world, rugby. But which one player, if there was a player, typifies that nation's stereotype more than any other?
Where do you want to start on our global trail?
England. Let's start with England, because that's pretty easy to caricature.
What's the English stereotype? It's kind of pragmatist, boring, efficiency, power.
Coloured trousers.
Yeah. Public schoolboy.
Yeah. Well-dressed. Yep. Probably a dentist. Mm. I'd go with Ollie Cohn, the Welshman. Apparently he was the most English man alive.
Yeah, because he was from Bristol, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But he was like the kind of Welsh-hating Bristolian.
Yeah.
Guarding the fair lands of England from the Welsh.
Until he got asked to play for them. Yeah, okay,
until,
fine.
Yeah, until he got offered an international cap.
Ripped off his coloured trousers, burned them, and then nipped over the bridge.
Anyone else English?
Oh, I think maybe the most English of all the English is Will Carling.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, Will Carling's a very good one.
Especially with when there were rumours knocking around with him...
being royalty.
Yeah, exactly.
Hang on. But he seems more English to me than even Mike Tindall. Because Mike Tindall, it just seems like a good guy. He doesn't seem to be stereotypically anything.
Yeah,
and he is royalty.
Yeah, true.
So,
I had for England Wilkinson.
Like the, why?
Oh,
because he's successful.
So
he
true.
Wins stuff. Why is he English?
Because of the kind of efficiency and making more than, like, he was more than the cards he was dealt. Because of his, like, practice and his mentality and all that, he achieved more than he possibly should have done.
And as a guy, I mean, an incredible player and, like, as you say, the dedication, I think he probably would admit he's not the most charismatic character.
No, he's not.
He's not going to get into Banter Squadron anytime soon.
No, this is true. But
very good at promoting nut butter, though. Have you seen, his Twitter account is the most dull thing.
And fine side clothing.
Yeah, ugh.
Yeah, I think Johnny Wilkinson, I'm going to go with you on that one. And he was public schoolboy, educated.
Was he?
Very well spoken.
Was it Lord Wandsworth School?
Yeah, Lord Wandsworth. I played against Johnny Wilkinson a couple of times.
Oh, really?
How did I go?
He was 12. He played 12.
He was 12, as in age.
No, we beat him 1 year and lost to them the other year.
Yeah, because he played 12 in the schoolboy team that it was like 96 or 98, where a lot of them went on to play in the World Cup.
Johnny Wilkinson, the most English man.
He's not more English than Will Carling.
I think Will Carling is probably more. Yeah, I'll give you that.
And Guscott's arrogance would probably get him in.
Will Carling, there. Will Carling. Right, who's the Welshest Welshman, JB?
So the most Will's characteristics are obviously bitterness and envy towards the English.
Yeah. Christ, that could be anyone in South Wales.
But you got that stereotype of the mercurial, brilliant player like Barry John.
James Hook's pretty
Phil
Welsh.
Davies. James Hook's very Welsh.
Is it?
Of those players playing now, he's very Welsh.
Yeah. Who else? Ryan Lamb. Tiny and skillful. As for forwards, I don't think we've got a fine history of forwards. I'm sure people are going to lambast me for this, but I don't think of the Welsh pack as devastating as, say, traditional English packs.
No, I think the modern-day stereotype of Wales, I think that mercurial kind of talent isn't quite what Wales produce now. What they produce is incredibly fit, powerful guys.
Yeah.
And even, did you see even Gatland and Sean Edwards have said to the guys playing in France, you've got to do extra fitness sessions because the way you're playing in France, you're not going to be able to live with the tempo that we want to play at. Who's the most Irishman?
Now, I've gone for two on looks, and that's Paddy Jackson and Peter Stringer.
Very good.
Because they look like actual leprechauns.
Yeah. I go to Tom Homer.
Tom Homer does look quite Irish.
Yeah. Leo Cullen is very Irish.
Is he anything?
Yes, he is.
There's no one else on earth that looks like Leo Cullen.
Yeah, but if it held, here's a test, right? Not that does he look like the remainder of the population, because that would be unfair on all of our wonderful Irish fans. But if I held up a picture of Leo Cullen and said, which country is this man from? What would you say?
I say, is that the BFG?
Yeah.
Ireland.
Yeah.
Scotland?
Hmm. Scotland, you need someone really average. Who's the most average rugby player you can get?
Kenny Logan.
Yeah, Kenny Logan.
Simon Danielli.
Yeah. We were talking about bad wingers. No, it's not bad wingers.
The worst wingers in space.
Yeah.
Who are the worst wingers if you gave them space?
Well, let's come back to that. Should we just go Kenny Logan?
Kenny Logan.
Because he's good, but he's just never great.
He's just kind of a guy who's hanging around Wasps and they put him on the wing occasionally. Yeah, he could kick, that's it.
He was a pretty big lad. Average winger.
Yeah.
New Zealand. Because New Zealand, they always have incredible skill levels, always hard as nails, carved out of granite.
It has to be Kieran Reid.
Well, I think Conrad Smith or someone like that.
Maybe.
I've got Conrad Smith written down.
Because I think he's the most New Zealand guy, because the guy's skills are incredible. And even with his frame and being an outside centre, no one would want to run down his channel, because he will nail you.
And he looks like he's just a little bit backwards.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, all those
like
things.
Like he stepped out of the 70s.
All those kind of things kind of apply to Kieran Reid. Unbelievable skills, not the best frame, but hey, it works.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Seems to make sense.
But unbelievable talent, which is what you obviously associate with New Zealand rugby players.
Probably the best player in the world.
Yeah. South African, you just need the biggest meathead that you can ever find. Probably Baki's Bota or.
I'll do Sheridan. Yeah. He could be South African.
Yeah,
he could be.
I've gone for Dwayne Vermeulen.
Oh, he's a beast.
Yeah.
Who's the most Aussie?
Easy one. Go. Easy. The badge.
The badge.
Oh, yes. That's so true. Yeah.
Easiest question
move
in the
on.
World.
Yeah, move on. The most. Well, let's take the
French.
Pacific Islands in general. Pacific Islands, they all are just monster hits.
Yeah.
It's got to be
crazy skills.
It's got to be the Tuolangis. Huge family.
It's the two types, isn't it? There's the chiropractor style.
Yeah.
The big hits, and then the skillful like Serevi style. You could have those two, Brian Lima and Serevi.
Right. Do you when you watch like Polynesians run and you think, "Christ, they're fast." Like they look what's his name today?
Rokodaguni.
Sorry, JB's going to say in a minute, one of my best friends, some of my best friends are Polynesian. I don't know if Polynesians are I don't know if that's the right phrase to use, whether it's...
I thought that was a PC phrase.
Maybe it is, anyway. Whatever the right phrase is.
Whatever satisfies you, PC Brigade, those people. I thought, what's their best 100-metre time? And the best 100-metre time that I can find out there for a guy from the islands is 10.5. When you thought it'd be much, much quicker when you watch them on...
None of them do it, do they?
No.
There's a brilliant little thing that... I can't forget who's done it. It's one of the people sponsoring the USA rugby team who've done a little video of Carlin Isles.
Yes.
And he's quicker over... Carlin Isles, his 100-metre time would have got him into the Olympic semi-finals, 10.3 or something. And he's quicker over 40 metres than anyone that's ever done an NFL combine time.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
And he's quicker over 40 metres than Usain Bolt.
Yes.
What was his 40 time? Do you know?
4.24 is the fastest.
What other nation? Oh, French. Yeah, French.
Castagnard. No more French.
Thomas Castagnard.
Or Michelac.
Yeah. Or
what Connell sort of stereotype Spencer. Are you thinking? Like, brilliant skill.
Outrageously good skill.
But then can have an absolute stinker.
Yeah. Disappear. Like they're not even on the pitch.
And if you wanted a forward equivalent, it would have to be Scott Quinnell. Big, bruising, out of shape, kind of, but hell of a carrier.
A name for people that are of an age who watched rugby in the 80s, then Serge Blanco, I think the Frenchest Frenchman. Like, who's he chairman of? He's chairman of one of the clubs, might even be Toulouse, but he absolutely ballooned in weight.
Yes.
As soon as he finished, because just.
But he was
one of the most skillful rugby players, counter attacking, would attack from anywhere at fullback.
Yeah.
Smoked 50 cigarettes a day while he was an international and then ballooned in weight after he finished.
Oh, he's not Bieritz, is he?
Yeah, I think he might be Bieritz.
He is Bieritz, right? Because I read a story about. Like the old traditions of French rugby. Apparently, Bieritz used to play on a Sunday after a Sunday roast, after like a whole brisket, and then washed down with red wine. And of course, you know where the pink bow ties come from, right? Eden Park.
Yes.
Okay. So apparently, the pink bow tie, again, I could be wrong, is from Racing Metro. And at half time, they used to have champagne, and they used to play in bow ties stuff like that.
Half time, they'd have champagne.
Yeah.
Wow. Different world, different times.
Yeah, definitely different times.
What, it's not the Super League Grand Final, that's for sure.
I mean, is Sergio Parise, would it have to be a front row to be the most Italian?
So. Yeah, front row. I was thinking fiery, like that kind of fiery, tough forwards.
I was just thinking Parise just because, like, you've seen him in a pair of pants. He just looks like a wimp, like some sort of godlike Adonis.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go with that.
I was thinking the fiery type five, and I've gone for a man who has the distinction of being the worst disciplined international player of all time, and that is Marco Bortolami.
Really? Right? That's a great... I'm getting your fact button out, Phil.
Fact.
It's a great fact.
At least we all know who the most Namibian rugby player is.
Oh, yes, we do. Mr. Berger. Mr. Berger.
And the most Canadian.
Most Canadian, Cudmore.
Yes.
Oh, not Stanley, what's his name? Winston Stanley. No,
just
not him.
A grizzly man. A beast, a bear of a man. He is like a brown bear in walking through the river in
Kodiak Island.
British Columbia. Exactly. He's a beast of a man.
Any others?
The most Georgian Marmuka Gorgodza. The name sounds like a fearful. He looks like a gargoyle. He's just got freakish strength.
Beast from the east.
Yeah. It's incredible. There's a guy in the team I played in yesterday, they jokingly referred to him as Beast from the East.
Oh, Eastie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like that because...
He says, I'm not from the east.
From Czech Republic.
Yeah, Czech Republic.
It's central. And the more he says it's central, the more we say it's east. Quiet, you communist.
So as we get on to the rugby that's going on this weekend then. If we've missed someone, if you've got anyone you can suggest, then I don't know, Welsh, Andy Powell, kind of in terms of forwards, just a big meathead.
Well, I mean, if you've ever seen...
But a bit stupid.
Yeah, if you've ever seen the valleys, that makes sense.
But anymore, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, tell us what you reckon. Right, let's get into the games this weekend then. Like we say, there's Pro 12, Aviva Premiership takes a back seat. It's all about the European Rugby Cup and the European Challenge Cup. Let's focus most of our attention on the Premier competition, and I don't think anyone would begrudge that. Interestingly, some of the smaller teams who have smaller, more stretched squads, the likes of Newcastle and London Irish and London Welsh, even Exeter to a lesser extent, would you think that they would rotate their players when they get the chance just to give them a bit of a breather from the Premiership?
Yeah, it depends who they're going to play, because you'll play some games against the like French and Welsh teams, which will be tougher, but then you could play like Bucharesti Wolves or someone like that.
Or London Irish v Rovigo, for example,
exactly.
This Sunday.
So, is that who they've got?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the new championship, like the senior tournament, is just like a meat grinder. Yeah, it's going to take its toll. If you're in the lower, comp, I'd probably rest everyone because unless you get through to the finals or semis, you're not going to take it too seriously.
Yeah, it's a good way of developing like some of your younger guys as well. Rest your senior guys and get the younger guys playing.
Gloucester Breve is one of the good matchups.
I've not seen Breve play. I think Gloucester are getting it together now though.
They seem to be, yeah. Because there were so many new players, they took a bit of time to gel. But they're looking decent, look good against Saracens.
I also like their scrum half,
Robson.
Robson. I think Robson's a real deal. I'm not sure, but I'd play Laidlaw over him.
Like you say, the money plays.
Money plays.
Money plays. I think Gloucester, with the shed supporting them, will overcome brief. Newcastle will beat Bucharesti.
Yeah.
Wow, Newcastle 3 on the bounce.
This is quite an interesting matchup. Bordeaux Beglers I don't know.
Beglers will be fine. Beglers,
yeah, of course.
Against Edinburgh, that's an interesting game. Now, Joe Worsley is one of the coaches with Rafael Ibanez as director of rugby at Bordeaux.
Oh, wow.
And they have the highest attendance in the top 14.
Do they?
Yeah, and
26,000.
They're also one of the top teams to beat now. I mean, people are in the top 14. People are resting their team before going to Bordeaux.
They 2 weeks ago they put 50 points on Clermont, and Clermont. That was the second game they've lost. They're top of the league, Clermont.
Crikey.
So,
do you know what the European Cup's like? It's like you're in a school and you know who the bullies are. And, you know, you're quite comfortable with those bullies being the bullies. And then another school from a harder neighbourhood comes over and their bullies beat your bullies and it makes you very uncomfortable. Like, these French teams are terrifying.
Oh, the school I grew up playing at in Newbury was...
That sounds like a tough place.
It was the... No, that's not what I mean by that. But we were just a comprehensive school, but we used to have these historic fixture list, which meant that we played against a load of the public schools, and they hated it when we won. It was... We're just commoners coming in there just... And when we beat them... And I remember one time I had a mate that played for Abingdon, which is a public school. Mm-hmm. And they got detention for a week when they lost to us.
In one of our assemblies once, we prayed for all the injured Rydal players to get well soon.
Cardiff Blues against Grenoble.
Blues at home.
Connacht La Rochelle. Connacht will win that home.
Yeah.
Really?
Bayonne Exeter. Exeter away. That'll be a tricky match. Stade Francais have got Newport Gwent Dragons.
Yeah.
I've unleashed the dragon!
What's Lou Rugby? L-O-U Rugby? What's that?
I'm just looking it up. I've never heard of it before.
Because they're at home to London Welsh.
It's not Lyon.
Oh, Lyon. Lyon Olympique.
Lyon Olympique.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Zebre Oyonnax. Fine. London Welsh will hammer Rovigo. And that is your fixtures for the European Challenge Cup. It's not that exciting, I don't know. I'm not that inspired by it.
What are you talking about? They're playing for the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, the trophy does look a lot like the NFL Lombardi Trophy, it has to be said.
Okay, trivia questions. Who makes the Lombardi Trophy?
Who makes it?
Mm-hmm. Daimler. Chrysler.
Tiffany's.
Oh, wow.
It's got its own little bag. And do you know who's allowed to touch it?
Fact!
Who's allowed to touch it?
Yeah.
The MVP?
Only people that win it. You're not even the people that carry it have to hold it in gloves.
Mm.
Fact.
That's great.
Is it great? Because there's another trophy in America called the Stanley Cup, which is
the NHL.
Yes.
Ice hockey, yeah.
And they do something completely different. They've got two guys that take it around everywhere to bars and stuff, and everyone in the bar can just play with it, hold it.
That's a massive trophy, isn't it?
It's huge.
It's absolutely gigantic.
Fact.
Good facts coming out in today's podcast. Now, so we go from that, which is kind of rather limp affair that is the European Rugby Challenge Cup, with the greatest of respects to the teams that are in it too. European Rugby Cup. Oh, this is good.
Yes.
Oh, my word. Some of the matchups this weekend are sensational.
It's such a good competition.
I've just realised, with it being a European affair, I'm playing the wrong kind of sexual music. There we go, that's better.
Oh, nice.
Much better.
Right, so Friday night, Harlequins cast.
You'd expect Harlequins to have enough at home, because I don't think cast have
I don't
started.
Think Harlequins are a good team.
Cast have not started the season particularly well.
Harlequins are the only team in the Aviva that I think at the moment have got their full strength side out and just look average.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything from Harlequins that makes you go, yeah, this is the team you need to beat?
It's a good point, actually.
It's a front five they're lacking, I think.
But there's a first choice front five?
No. I'm with you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's not going to get any better for them.
I think at home, European night, I think they'll do it.
I know. I think they're going to lose.
To cast?
Yeah.
Cast are currently fourth bottom.
Pull it, my cast iron guarantee.
Oh, dearie me.
Wise, Tim, wise.
To Saturday, Sale against Munster should be good. Manchester's quite an easy place for the Munstermen to get to over the Irish Channel.
Again, yeah.
They'll be bringing a lot of fans
they
over
for
that.
They can sing hymns all they want, but I think Sale, a tough proposition.
I think it'll feel like a home game for Munster. Right?
Yeah,
here's my prediction.
They could have more fans.
Here's my prediction.
Good point, actually.
There'll be as many Munstermen as there will Sale Sharks fans.
Can I make this prediction? There'll probably be as many Munstermen from Manchester as there will be from Ireland, because this city is full of Irish people.
This is true. Yeah. I think Munster. I agree. It's going to be a tight one. Peter O'Mahony. Oh my word, he's a good player. He looks absolutely brilliant against in the rugby. I saw him against Scarlets. Looks absolutely awesome over the ball. You just can't knock him off.
He's
better over the ball than Dan Braid and Seymour for Sale Sharks. Mm. I think Munster will come away with a win.
I think Munster will win. I don't think it'll be easy.
No, I don't think it will be easy by any stretch.
Put in a real good shift there.
Sale are difficult to beat at home.
Yep.
But yeah, I think Munster for a big European night, or European day even, will be up for it.
Oh, Saracens, Claremont. Wow.
Well, I can only assume that Saracens will be crunching the numbers with KPMG, which is exactly what they attributed their last win to, is a number cruncher in the accountancy Big Four practice.
I mean, this match
30 tackles from Jack Berger.
How...
This matchup is box office.
Yeah.
Do you think they can hold off the power of Claremont Auvergne?
Because Claremont have started really well.
Yes, they
have.
Season.
No idea.
Currently top.
New coach. Maybe they play differently. I just don't know. I have no idea
this
how.
This is such a. Oh, you...
I think at home and with last year fresh in their memory, Saracens will have just enough to do it.
Do Saracens come into that game confident knowing that they've beaten that personnel before? Or do Claremont come into that game thinking,
revenge?
I think it's a bit of both.
Wow, that's a great game.
It's a hell of a match.
I can't wait
to
watch this one.
It's my Cudmore versus your burger.
Yes, my Cudmore. My burger to win.
I'm going to go Claremont.
Wow, away.
Away. I know they haven't been doing very well away, but I think that they'll be so galvanised, and that semi-final defeat last year will have hurt them so much.
It certainly will.
That they need no more motivation. But I think it's going to be by a few points. I don't know.
It'll be close, won't it?
It will be. What do you think? You think Sarries?
I think Sarries.
I think Sarries cool. At home.
Right, and into Pool 3 then, and Saturday evening, and... Well, me and Phil will be going along to this one. Leicester against Ulster. Phil's going to see his Ulsterman. He'll be wearing his Ulster shirt.
I will.
Going into the Lions' Den that is Welford Road for a European night. 7:45 under the floodlights Saturday night. Oh, I think this is going to be a great game.
Yeah, this should be a really good game.
Two teams that know each other very well in recent years.
Yes.
Yeah, after Ulster bested Leicester twice last year.
They did, and I think they're going to do it a third time.
I think they're going to do it a third time. Although they don't have a couple of influential players, like Ruan Pienaar, when they did win at Welford Road, was a real massive influence.
Yeah, he was.
Was John Afoa, to be fair.
And Marcus Ayerts are coming back in for Leicester.
Oh.
Could be very influential.
Yes. Ayerts looked incredible.
But Chris Henry, I think.
Every time
that
I say
awesome.
Chris Henry, I think of the wrestler from WWE.
He's awesome.
That's Mark Henry, isn't
he?
He
could be a wrestler in WWE, Chris Henry could. He's a specimen.
I think Ulster have got enough quality right throughout the team. It looked really good against a very good Glasgow side this weekend.
You'll see him firsthand. So,
yeah, exciting.
There's two more games on Saturday. Glasgow against Bath.
Bath.
In Pool 4.
Bath.
Glasgow's a tough place to go to, though.
Bath for me. I'm not by a bit either.
I'm going to say Glasgow at home.
Are you mad?
Bath have lost their last two away games.
Yes, they have.
So, Glasgow.
I think this is where we see where the Pro 12 is at versus the Aviva Premiership.
Yes.
It exactly ties like this. A team like Bath, who've been doing very well in the Premiership, going away to Glasgow, who've been, again, doing okay.
Yeah, doing well in the top 14.
So, I'm going to go Bath to come away with the spoils in that one. And then the final game on Saturday in Pool 5, Racing Metro 92 against Northampton Saints. Could get a good matchup this one.
I think
Saints will be wanting to really put a marker down in Europe this year. I think they'll win.
The Saints look very impressive against Sale, but
at least they'll be
really
familiar
good.
With the Racing front row.
Mujati and I don't know if Tongaway is playing.
I've got no idea at the moment.
And then on to Sunday. Oh, the big games just keep coming. Leinster at the Aviva Stadium hosting Wasps. Yeah. In Pool 2.
Leinster missing a couple of very big names. Healy and O'Brien.
At home, in Europe. But, it's what they do, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
They'll beat
Wasps. That Wasps team, I mean, I'm guilty as anyone for continuously underrating them. And I don't think they were the better team today against Bath. But huge back row. Launchbury back. Bradley Davis, seasoned international.
Leinster at home will do the business.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be much closer than you guys think.
I don't think it's going to be close.
Do you not?
I think it'll be comfortable by more than seven, but I don't think it'll more be... Than, I don't think, I'm not saying like a 30-niller or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of going to go a little less than that. I'm going to say it is going to be Leinster by less than seven.
All right. Toulon will smash Scarlets.
At home.
Do you want to talk about duty of care? What about taking a bunch of kids away to Toulon?
Toulouse against Montpellier. Who knows how that one's going down? Toby Flood must just be scratching his head going, what have I done?
What is going on?
More to the point, everyone in Toulouse must be scratching their head thinking, what's going on?
Yeah.
Because they've started badly, and the guy to save their season is this little like willowy Englishman who's just arrived.
With a terrible haircut.
Yeah, and big ears. Sorry, are you sure that this guy's going to be... leading us to glory?
I've no idea how that one's going to go. I'll say Montpellier to win away.
I'll go for Toulouse home win, but they have been dreadful.
And the final game, we've saved the big one till last. Ospreys Treviso.
Woo!
Yeah! Ospreys.
Amazing that these two teams are going to see each other four times this year. Ospreys.
Ospreys are playing very, very well.
I can't wait. We're going to be at some of the games live. We're going to be watching the rest of it on the telly, and I can't wait and bring the rugby on. Before we're done, we didn't even mention the most Argentinian, and that's got to be a prop, Marcus Ayerza, surely.
Ayerza
is the meatiest front row.
I would have gone with Federico Mendes back in the day.
Oh, the guy who knocked out Paul Ackford at Twickenham.
Yeah,
in his debut.
And then went missing for a year.
Yeah.
Literally went missing from his French club. Moved from Northampton, somewhere in France, went missing. That's pretty cool, right?
Right, we're done. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for the comments on iTunes. Keep them coming because it helps bump us up the charts. And it's the only way that we've got for people to find us. I think most people find us by typing in rugby on iTunes and we pop up. Or else people telling their mates. So, yeah. Tell your mates if you like the podcast.
Or enemies. Tell your enemies as well.
Tell your enemies as well. It's all good. And thank you very much for listening. And we'll catch you next time. Nice one, JB.
Bye-bye.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.